Amen. Well, when I was a younger preacher boy, started to preach when I was 15, and I remember my pastor at that time, his name was Russell Tuck, he'd just come up to you Sunday night and say, "You're preaching tonight. You better have something in your Bible." So I went up to Brother Russell Sunday night before church and said, "You're preaching tonight." He said, "Well, I have a sermon in my Bible, but it's the same sermon you preached this morning." So is that a Second Chronicles? Same message, huh?
Corinthians, yeah.
I mean Corinthians, yeah. So I don't remember. So anyway, so I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, but I'm thankful, really am. It's what a blessing to have our guys in the ministry, going to school, and kids I've known since they was little bitty, and what a blessing. And Russell will be going into his junior year at Heartland Baptist Bible College. And I believe it is important for us to let him preach. And and to preach to a crowd that's not hostile, you know. I seriously mean that. They preach in front of some of their compadres up there. They're kind of, you know, critics. And I'm just glad to hang out here and get to preach and be encouraged. Amen. No matter who's preaching or what's, you know, they're preaching the book, it's worth hearing. Amen. One more story and I'll be done. So it would have been about 19 years ago, had a person walk out of the service on a Sunday morning when I was preaching, and they were heard by one of our fellow members saying, "That guy's too young, he has nothing to say to me," and actually said a few more words after that. I was young, and I didn't have a lot to say, but I had the Word of God in my hand. And again, I just want to, by the way, I could tell a story about what happened to that individual. I'm telling you, we ought to be careful when we start going against the Word of God. And we can become a critic of the person in the pulpit. I'm not saying that's happening tonight. I'm just saying we can. One more thing. I'll give you a Brother Henderson, A.B. Henderson quote. A.B. Henderson said, you know, once he kind of quit pastoring and began in evangelism, it became very difficult for him to sit in a pew. I mean, I could see that after preaching for all those years. And he said he caught himself critiquing the preachers in the pulpit. And he got under conviction about it. And he just decided, you know what? We'll stop critiquing the preacher and just enjoy it and let the Lord speak to me. And that's Dr. A.V. Henderson, pastored one of the largest churches in America for 9 years. And so I just want to encourage tonight. I don't know why that all came up it's not about Russell tonight. It just came to my mind. I'm thankful that we give our kids, our young people, opportunity to sit in the pulpit and preach. By the way, you only got 22 minutes, so.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Well, that's really encouraging. I can tell you that. Yeah. I do thank Brother Crawford for everything that he's done in my life. He's had a huge impact and a huge part in my life. So, most of you know me. Some of you don't. There's a lot of new faces, which is a good thing, but I don't know you, and I feel bad. But I wasn't here this summer. Most of you know I was on a traveling group with our school. I was with what is called the Assurance Trio. It's a ladies' trio, and I ran the sound system for them. And we traveled the southeastern side of America. We started in New Mexico, went all the way over to Florida, and all the way up to West Virginia, all the way over to Iowa. So that whole region, just right in between there. And it's not like Texas, I can tell you that. It's good to be home, and it's good to be in the church again. It's encouraging to be able to do the ministry opportunity that I had this summer, to be able to go to different churches that are just like this, that are still serving God across America. Because with the way that the news is, we don't hear about that stuff. We don't know how many other churches are still running. I saw churches from two family members being in the church, and that's it, up to, you know, besides Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, up to 800 people. Southwest runs about 2,000, so it's incredible what the Lord's doing up there. But it was encouraging, because this has been my home church. This has been the church that I grew up in. I was here whenever it started. And it's been encouraging to see faithful servants still serving the Lord, still pressing forward, no matter, you know, what the circumstances are. Some of the pastors, you know, their church can't support them all the way, and they have to work full-time jobs. I mean, that stuff blows my mind, because the Lord has blessed us so greatly, and we don't deserve it in this church. But the Lord has been good. So, Brother Crawford told me that I was preaching tonight. Told me Sunday night, and I did have that exact message that he preached in the morning, and I left that at home, so I'm not re-preaching it to you. But I took today off of work. I work for Scott Malden in our church, and kind of help him with his home building stuff. And so I took today off, and I went and ate breakfast with Brother Jesse, and then started praying about what the Lord would have me to preach about tonight. And I've been broken all day over what to preach about. So it's encouraging that, you know, that you said don't critique. Because I have a sermon that Miss Danya, she's not in here, she labored over trying to print out upstairs. And so it's kind of flopped around. But I don't feel that that's what the Lord has on my heart. So tonight, I'm going to read to you a passage. And then I'm going to kind of give you my testimony, what the Lord's done in my life, and just to give Him glory, because I don't deserve what I have and what He's done in my life. I'm going to get emotional. The Lord's been good, so forgive me. But if everyone would please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and I will read through verse 33. And then we will pray, and then I will share some stuff with you. In verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For unto these all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, I just want to thank you once again for this day that you've given us. Lord, I just want to thank you for the safe traveling that you gave me during the summer. Lord, just thank you for bringing me back home. I just want to thank you for this church and what we stand for, and help us to keep our light shining bright. Lord, help us to keep you first in our lives, and help me, Lord, to share with the congregation what you have placed on my heart. Lord, let it be clear, and Lord, let nervousness be set aside, and Lord, just help me to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, throughout this passage, it's a very common passage. Most of you have heard it before. Most of you know the details. I don't even have to tell you. But in my own life, I guess I can start from the beginning. So, I was raised in church. My parents are actually up here in the front. And I've, you know, raised in a Christian family, a good godly home. And whenever Brother Crawford decided to plant Heritage Baptist Church, we decided to follow him and come with him. And since then, we've been attending Heritage Baptist Church, and the Lord has blessed us greatly. And whenever I was 9 years old at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, which is where we still go to youth camp, praise the Lord, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. A preacher was preaching about hell. I don't remember the name of the preacher. It could have been Clyde Spain, because he was preaching back then. But I don't know exactly who the preacher was, but I know he's preaching on hell, and I knew that that's where I was going if I were to die in a car accident or if anything were to happen. So after that service, I went up to my dad and said, "Dad, if I were to die today, I'd go to hell. Can you teach me and show me from the Bible how to get to heaven?" So that night, my dad had the opportunity to lead me to the Lord, and it's amazing. So I thank the Lord for godly parents. I'm very privileged. And I was raised in a public school. We couldn't afford Christian school or anything like that. So I went to a public school my whole life. I didn't have good influences at school, I can tell you that. I started living a double-sided life. I lived the church life, and I lived the at-home, doing whatever I wanted to do life. During school, I played sports. I played football for 6 years. I did powerlifting for 4 years, did wrestling. I was heavily involved with sports, and that was my idol throughout majority of my life. I didn't pay attention in classes. I slept through most of them and played video games all day. Sound like a typical teenager. So I didn't live the life that I should have been living whenever I was younger. I had all the influences that I needed to. I had the church that I needed, but yet I chose in my own life to go the way of my flesh. And as it says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve your flesh and God at the same time. You either love one or you hate one. You choose. And during that time of my life, I chose my flesh. And the Lord had to bring me down quite a few times. And throughout camp, going back and forth to camp, the Lord spoke to me about stuff, but yet I said, no, Lord, that's not what I want to do. I'm not going to do it. And my goal, what I wanted to do in life, was to join the military at the time. And it wasn't for the right reasons at all. It was because I didn't know what to do in life, and I saw that was the easiest way out, which in reality it's not. Majority of you can tell me about that later. No, I'm just kidding. I know the stories, but the Lord did not see that that was what he wanted me to do. And the Lord didn't give up on me, and I thank him for that. So the Lord started working on my heart about surrendering to the ministry, surrendering my life to him. And it took him a couple years, and then finally, my junior year of high school at camp, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And that's whenever a whole new chapter of my life opened up. And that's whenever this part of the scripture, this passage, applies to my life. I started seeking God, and everything else started adding up. Everything else just started coming in my life. I didn't have to worry about it. I started completely putting my trust in him, and the Lord provided. Amen. And it's hard to, as humans, to do that. Yeah. It is. It's something that we struggle with every day, throughout every day. It's hard for us to completely give everything up to someone by faith and believe that he can take control of it. It's hard. We don't understand it, but in this passage, and through my own life and through your own life, I'm sure you've seen that the Lord fulfills that, and he fulfills exactly what he says here. If you seek him, everything will be added unto you. What do you have to worry about? But what amazes me in this passage, in verse 25, he goes through and towards the end of the verse, he says, "Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" The one thing that he gave us is life. That is the most important thing. It's, held highest. Without life, we're nothing. That's how we're viewed. We don't need meat. We don't need raiment. Now, to eventually survive, we may need meat. We may need water. But the number one thing is life. Without life, there's nothing. And then he goes on in verse 26, and he says, "The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap," meaning they don't work, they don't reap or sow like we do, "nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." God feeds them. He takes care of them. Yeah. Are ye not much better than they?
Amen.
That amazes me. Yeah. But then he goes into saying, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" We mean something to him. Yet we're so unworthy, we're so inadequate with our flesh. And then it goes on to say, "And why take ye thought for raiment?" Why do we worry about clothes? Why do we worry about food? The Lord says that, he'll provide it. Are you not much better than the birds that he just loosely gives food to? Why do we worry so much about the things that are going on in our lives? Why don't we completely give it to God? And once again, that is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
But yet, as a Christian, that's what we need to do to fulfill the ministry that God has before us. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. God's in control. It's pretty much what that passage, or what that verse says right there. In verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? This world is temporary. Everything's here temporary. It go, earlier, before verse 24, it talks about the treasures and where you lay your treasures, and that's where your heart is. All it comes to show is that this world is temporary. We don't need to be focusing on what's here on earth. We need to be focusing on our ministry and fulfilling what God has for us. But then it goes in eventually into verse 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One thing that I had to do in my life was set myself aside. It's still hard to do every day, but it's a daily thing. And whenever I surrendered my life to the Lord, the church was able to offer me an internship. And I was able to take the internship and work during the summer with a little bit of pay during the weeks. And then I felt called to Bible college. I didn't know what to do in Bible college. I'd never heard of Bible college before. Well, I'd heard about it, but I didn't know what it was or, you know, what the point of it was. So then Brother Jesse, of course, graduating from Crown, invited me to come visit Crown with him. And we went out there for a week. Amazing college. It was a good college. I enjoyed my time there. And then Pastor recommended Heartland after, of course, looking at Norris, which was very close to home and very affordable. I went and looked at Heartland and sat in a couple classes. And, you know, sometimes you just can't describe how the Lord works in your life, but I knew that that's where he wanted me to go. I didn't have any money. The church was offering, you know, to pay a certain portion of college, but we couldn't afford everything. I probably had $20 in my pocket. My parents didn't have any money. You know, we're living paycheck to paycheck. And it's just so clear that the Lord wanted me to go there because he afforded it, or he paid for it, you know, through the church. The Lord was able to give me a job while I was up there, working 22 college school hours. It's a busy college life. And then the Lord was able to give me a job, and I was able to work about 30 hours a week, being able to pay for school and to save up and to pay for, you know, the little things that come along in life. But the Lord showed me that if I seek him, he'll provide everything else. And he's proven it to me this day. The next year, I was able to work for Brother Scott Malden in the church. And he was able to provide me with enough money to pay for my next semester. And the church was able to do a scholarship then, which was $1,000 per semester for a Bible college student. And I don't know how the Lord works sometimes, but the Lord sees the needs and he fulfills them. So he laid it upon someone's heart to give money to Bible college students, which was me, who couldn't afford it. Then once again, the Lord gave me another good job up there and provided the rest of college.
Amen.
How can you describe that to people that don't believe in God?
Yeah.
You can't. They're like, why are you going to Bible college? It's hard to explain. But, you know, there's many good reasons. And then the Lord was able to put me on a traveling group with the school. Now, my position, which proves to me that the Lord is still at work, the sound position, you don't try out for it, I can tell you that. They randomly call you depending on how your grades are, which I'm not a straight A student, I'm an A and B student, whenever I apply myself. But you know, I didn't have top grades. I wasn't the most known around campus, but yet they gave me a call.
Amen.
And said, hey, would you consider doing a sound position for one of the groups? Which with me, I was able to do a little bit of sound whenever I was a little bit younger in our church. Some of you remember that, the good days of the squeaking and the squealing of the sound system, which every sound system is possessed. I do remember that, and I've seen it throughout the summer. But I told them no at first. The music director, Brother Mast, gave me a week to pray about it. And the week was up, and I told him, no, I don't feel peace about it. I feel like maybe I should intern at a church or somewhere in that area. And he told me to keep praying about it. And he said, but I will try to find someone else to take that position. Which, with a school of 450 students, it's, you know, that's not a lot, but it's still easy to find one person to do a simple job. And yet, he didn't find anyone. And the two days later, I had still been praying about it, and I felt that this may be something that the Lord is opening up for me, and I need to take advantage of it. This is something that I may never have the opportunity to do again, that many of you may never have the opportunity to do. And so I started taking that in consideration. The Lord started working on my heart, so I decided to take the position. And so I called him that night, and he said, well, the position's still open. I didn't even have peace about calling anyone else to try out this position. Even though you denied it, I still felt that this is what the Lord wanted you to do. I said, I just wanted to give you time and let you pray about it. So I was able to take that position, and I didn't know which group I was going to travel on then, and then they, you know, told me with the assurance, stuck with three girls. I thought they were going to be drama queens. That's normally how girls are. I had a sister once. No, I'm just kidding. She's still there. But so we had a good summer. We all had different personalities, so it worked out pretty good. But it just, with that opportunity, it pays for tuition and room and board and a little bit extra. Once again, the Lord started providing for school. Can't explain it. I can't. So the next semester was paid for. Started going through the summer, and we don't make any money during the summer unless a church donates some stuff to us. So we're living life on the edge is what I like to say. You know, just right on the, whatever, you know, churches donate to us, that goes towards haircuts, if we want any extra clothes or shampoo, soap, toothpaste, the bare necessities of life that you need. So the Lord, every time that something came up that we needed something, the Lord was able to have a church donate some money to us. And everything was provided during the summer. I didn't come back with any extra, though. So I'm telling you, Lord, the Lord tests you in many different ways. So then Ms. Crawford was able to, the church is still able to do the scholarship again this year. So I appreciate that. And Ms. Crawford called the school the other day to figure out, you know, my financial situation at the school to see, you know, what's left on my payments and whatnot. And there's only about $500 left on this coming up semester. And with the scholarship, it's paid for. So I don't have to worry about it. The Lord's good when you put Him first. Many people struggle with things in their lives, and they try to figure out how to do it on their own. Can't do it on your own.
Amen.
Something I figure out every day. I'm sure that everyone else figures out every day. Put your trust in God. Trust in Him. Let Him take control. That's all He wants us to do, is depend on Him.
Amen.
In complete obedience. But whenever you seek Him, that involves giving Him time, which is also hard to do. Devoting time, making Him worth it, because we don't deserve to be living today. Who are we to be here tonight? Who are we to have our families that we have? We don't deserve it. We don't. But the Lord has given us life and has given us the option to serve Him or to serve ourselves. The only thing that He wants us to do is bring glory to Him and completely depend upon Him in every aspect of our life, which isn't easy. But He deserves it. So let me ask you this. How often are you, this is going to get a little personal, how often are you reading your Bible? Are you giving God what He deserves? How often are you getting on your knees to pray and just thank Him for the day?
Amen.
You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do.
Amen.
But it's what's needed. It's to show Him that you're putting Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. Let God take control. I still have no clue what the Lord's going to do in my life. I surrender to the ministry. Other than that, I have no clue. Still taking it step by step, still praying and trying to seek the Lord and what He wants me to do. And one thing that that encouraged me this summer, I can leave you with. God doesn't just call young people. He calls older people. And it amazes me because, you know, I'm not further in life yet. I'm still young. I don't know all that, you know, family comes with or what, you know, jobs come with. But I met a guy who was about 33 who had three kids. And he surrendered to preach. Surrendered to pastor of church, and the Lord started working on his heart, and he was telling me this, giving me his testimony. It was encouraging. And he said that, you know, the Lord's called me to West Coast Bible, Baptist Bible College, and 33 years old, has a good job, has finances set, everything, has a family, but yet he has to tell his family and his church, hey, I got to leave everything, I have to go follow God. How often do you see that? People are too afraid to step out and just trust God. I'm afraid. We're all afraid. But it's something that we have to humble ourselves, and we have to be broken down. Kind of like Brother McCracken's talked about in the revival, you have to be broken for the Lord to use you. It's as simple as that. You have to be a willing vessel, like Brother Crawford talked about Sunday morning. If you're not willing, why would he use you whenever he can use someone else that's willing? Do you want to be used of God? Because if you don't want to be used of God, he doesn't have to use you. He'll find someone else. He will. And then you'll live a miserable life, living for yourself. What's the point of that? This life's temporary. Whenever you get to heaven, you won't have any treasures. You'll just live the regular life up there, I guess. I don't know how it'll be, but I'm excited. But I just encourage you with that tonight. You know, just many people make this their life first, and many people don't actually follow it through. But once you start doing it, start spending time with the Lord, start giving him what he's worth, which we can't, but we can sure try. But once we start, you know, giving our lives completely to him, he'll start using us. We'll see God work in our life, and then we won't have to worry about tomorrow. Yeah. Just completely trust in him. So I'd encourage you with that. Then I'll pray and then hand it over to Brother Crawford. Dear Father, Lord, I just ask that you would be with this message, Lord. I know that it wasn't exactly how I had planned or what I studied for today, Lord, but I ask that you would use it in a mighty way, Lord, speaking from the heart, Lord, it definitely does a lot of good sometimes, and Lord, I just ask that you'd be with this church, help us to keep growing once again, help us to keep shining our lights, and help us to never put it under a bushel or to let it dim, help us to always be moving, help us to never be mediocre, but help us to have a cause for you, Lord. Help us to see souls saved, and Lord, just help us keep pressing forward as the day approaches. Lord, I just thank you once again for all that you've done. We don't deserve it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand. And tremendous point tonight, by the way. Some of the most effective messages in the Bible by Paul the Apostle was his testimony. And I just want to encourage you, put God first. That's it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All of the other things will happen. It'll fall in place. What a tremendous testimony tonight. And what a testimony of faithfulness of our church and of you who give, and that in order we can give the scholarships and help these guys and ladies in Bible college. All right, let's sing hymn 351, Wherever He Leads I'll Go. The Lord's touch your heart, you come tonight as we sing.